Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And we are celebrating a Victory Monday here on the Team 980. A playoff edition of a Victory Monday, Anthony Haney.
Yes, sir, man. Hey, look, I'm still hurting from yesterday, correct? I'm still recovering.
Still recovering. Yeah, I was... I had Lorenzo Alexander on the Instant Reaction Show last night. We were rolling until almost midnight. They're live on YouTube, and hopefully some of y'all woke up this morning. Although, like, I was so wired, like, doing that show. We had great energy. Zoe was fantastic filling in for Logan. And, like, just everything about it. You're wired up from the game, from the show. And my poor wife had to be up early this morning. And so she was already in bed, and I just kind of crawled in, and I'm sitting there, and I feel like I was just like, because like I had to be quiet, and I didn't want to, like, you know, I knew that she would be waiting for me to get into bed. I mean, obviously, because I was doing the show, the Instant Reaction Show from my home studio, she could hear everything I said. So once I finally shut up and, you know, got to doing a little bit of the behind the scenes work that I had to do for it, to make sure it was in everybody's podcast feed this morning, she passed out. But I knew she'd be waiting on me. I didn't want to just, like, I mean, I did want to go back and just rewatch the game. I did want to, like, I don't know, go do a meditation and see if I could calm down. So I just laid in the bed and stared at the ceiling like, oh, my God, they won. Oh, my God, they won. Oh, my God, they won. And it's because they won. Yeah. Love that. Happy Victory Monday to one to all. Anthony, do we owe the Victory Monday to a good luck halftime glizzy?
Yes, we do, Craig. I promise you. I took a full pack. I went to Giant, took a full pack of glizzies to my friend's house, cooked it on his stove, proceeded to eat the glizzy.
I got to borrow your stove real quick.
Yes, I needed a pot. I needed a plate. I needed a knife because they didn't have any bread. So I had to eat the glizzy. No ketchup, no nothing. Just a hot dog, man. But I needed it. It was essential.
You do what you got to do to win the football game, which actually brings us quite nicely to the way we start each and every show after Commanders game, victory or not. I don't know. They haven't lost in a while. Six straight. It's time for first and 10.
It's time to get the breakdown started. One, two, three, straight. First up, 10 observations.
Took it and just boom, put it right on the ground.
It's first and 10.
Oh, buddy.
Number one.
Of course they won that way. Of course it was dramatic. Of course it was almost a little bit silly. Doink! Couldn't have just been a regular field goal. Nope. Had to be the kicker fixing his buzz cut haircut 78 times and then doinking it off the upright. It had to be that way. It also had to be with Jaden Daniels snatching the soul of the opposing defense as if to say, you're so close, but I'm so sorry. You're not as good at this as I am. As if the whole point was to prove just that. That when it's time, in the winning time moments, we've got me and you don't. All you've got, Kalijah Kancey, is my towel. That is a scene, the Kalijah Kancey third down chasing Jaden Daniels, grabbing his towel as if it's flag football, realizing all he got was the towel. And then getting up as Daniels dives forward for the first down, which allowed them to run the clock all the way down to 3 seconds and thus kick the game-winning field goal with no time remaining. I will remember that scene from Kalijah Kancey for as long as I live. And him with towel in one hand, open hand in the other, putting both on his helmet. Like, I cannot believe that just happened to me. Kalijah, the good news is you had a great game. The good news is you got plenty of company on the wrong end of Jaden Daniels' highlights. The bad news is you're on the wrong end of a Jaden Daniels highlight in a game that was a playoff game that you lost in the most Commanders way possible.
Number two.
Their way of winning a football game also meant the heartbeats of their team had to show up. And boy, did they. Terry McLaurin, involved from the jump. The first third down of the game is the 35-yarder where he just does the thing that he does. He tracks the ball over his shoulder, catches it through contact while diving. He does that better than everybody else in the sport. 35 yards on Jamel Dean. Frankie Louvu had to show up, and he certainly did not have some monster Frankie Louvu game with three sacks and batting balls and a pick or anything. There's a couple of key plays along the way, chasing down Baker Mayfield on the sideline, tackling him in a way that I thought at first was definitely a horse collar. Then you see the replay, and you're like, nope, got him clean. That's a legal play. So plays like that, a couple of run stuffs that Louvu had. And then Bobby Wagner, who had what is the obvious most important play of the day, where he recovers that fumble. He's Johnny on the spot because, of course, he is. He always knows what's going on. He's right there to take advantage of a huge miscommunication between Baker Mayfield, Graham Barton, and Jalen McMillan. But also, he sets up another miscommunication crushing Tampa. It's second and inches, and Baker tries to keep it down on what turned into Tampa's final drive. Stuff. Stone cold stops Baker, sets up a third down. They have the miscommunication on the snap count, which I believe is on, like, I don't know. I've never heard a turbo set hut be anything other than on one. And so I wonder whether that was on Graham Barton and they were trying to do that to draw the Commanders off sides, or was that a mess up by Baker that when you say turbo, that means snap the ball on set hut. And whatever it is, their snap count got messed up. It winds up being a loss of multiple yards. Tampa then is like, oh, we can't go for it. Let's just tie the game with a field goal. That was with 4:41 remaining. They never saw the ball again.
Number three.
But of course, the most important piece is Jaden Daniels. In NFL history, there have been three instances of a team having zero turnovers and zero punts in a game behind a starting quarterback that was a rookie, regular or postseason. Zero turnovers, zero punts. All three were by the Commanders this season with that guy. Week two, week three, and the playoff game last night. Washington, behind Daniels, converted three fourth down attempts, the most in a playoff game in franchise history since at least 2000. Daniels joins Peyton Manning as the second quarterback in NFL history, not rookie, second quarterback period in NFL history to lead a team to zero turnovers and zero punts in a road playoff game. Daniels' ability to not turn over the football is something that we knew coming out of LSU was pretty special. They've played 18 games at this point. They're 13-5 overall. In 18 games, according to Pro Football Focus, he has had 12 turnover-worthy plays. That is it. 12. As a guy who handles the ball every snap for 18 games, and he played all but, what, three halves of those 18 games? Second half against Dallas, and he basically missed the entire Carolina game after being hurt on the first series? Like, that is incredible for a rookie. I mean, Peyton Manning loves to joke all the time about how he set the rookie interception record. There have been plenty of good, efficient even, rookie seasons. 12 turnover-worthy plays all season from a quarterback is sensational. To do it as a rookie is unheard of. And now he joins Peyton Manning as the second quarterback ever in the history of the league to lead a team to zero turnovers, zero punts in a road playoff game. He does it while being not just efficient, but proficient. He joins Russell Wilson as the second rookie quarterback in NFL history with over 250 passing yards, two or more passing touchdowns, and 35 or more rushing yards in a playoff game. He was the Commanders' leading rusher, not only in yardage, but in attempts with his 13. He carried them yesterday. And perhaps the most encouraging thing of all of this is not just how good he is right now, but the growth. Coming out of school, it's like, oh, can he attack the middle of the field? Or is he just a fade ball thrower who's then, if it's the fade's not there, it's either a comeback or he runs it? Nope. Last night, over the middle of the field between the hashes, or sorry, between the numbers, from 10 to 20 yards out. So that intermediate range where a lot of big boy quarterbacking happens, because you have to make tight window throws through traffic. You have to layer balls over defenders. You have to bend your arm angle around guys. You have to throw with tremendous anticipation. He was 6 for 6 with 2 touchdowns. Yeah, he did everything. Simply put, this season, Jaden Daniels has been historic. This is who he is. He's one win away from an almost indisputable place as the best rookie quarterback in the history of the National Football League. Certainly the modern NFL, but I think with what he's done, you make the argument for the whole 100-plus year history of the kit and caboodle. He might already be that, no matter what happens Saturday night in Detroit. But this is history that we are witnessing, and no matter what happens from here on forward, his place is cemented as the best first-year quarterback that, I mean, certainly I've ever seen. I think that any of us have ever seen. And not just is it prolific in terms of production, it is directly leading to wins with everything on his shoulders constantly. We'll talk about more of just why it's been on his shoulders so much, some of the struggles in the run game, some of the supporting pieces that he has lifted up next as we continue with our first and 10 on the Hoffman Show on a Victory Monday on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. We're taking your calls starting in 12 minutes at 4:30 on a Tell the Truth Monday. It's also a Victory Monday as the Commanders defeat the Bucks as time expires. Doink, Commanders win. Let's continue with our first and 10.
I took a full pack. I went to Giants.
Anthony, we got some sound bleeding through, sir. If we could a replay of the first segment. I mean, we do want to regale. Yeah, now we're good. Regaling in the tale of your glizzies is fun. But if people want to hear that, they can go to the Hoffman Show podcast and get that, or rewind on the Odyssey app. We're just gonna roll without that for right now. Thank you kindly. All right, picking up with our first and 10.
Number 4.
Diami Brown's emergence might be my personal favorite story of the season. His first 3 years combined, Brown had 26 catches for 476 yards, 3 touchdowns. He also only carried the football 3 times for 11 yards. This season, 30 catches, 308 yards, a touchdown, 3 carries, 26 yards as well. Last night, 8 receptions, 89 yards, and a touchdown. So he had more catches this year, almost 80% of his yardage production, and he did just have the 1 touchdown. But if you take out that one random Tennessee game, he equaled his touchdown production from the first 3 years. He also carried the ball as many times this year as he did in the first 3 years, which I think if you watch him run with the football, you realize good job coaching staff this year. And it's really emblematic of a larger point that they have found ways to maximize what feels like every player on this roster, but certainly some of the more talented ones that have a chance to contribute as long as you put them into positions that they're actually good at and keep them out of the ones they're not very good at. And perhaps nobody exhibits that more than Diami Brown. Congrats to him. Picked a heck of a day to have a career day.
Number 5.
I have been saying, in fact, often in this segment, that I would love Dan Quinn to have a little more Dan Campbell to him when it came to fourth downs. And the last month of the season, during this win streak, he has. So, Tressway, I hope you have a seat on the plane to Detroit, but I don't know that either punter is going to be called upon on Sunday when these two Dans face off. It has been a necessary thing for Washington because defensively, like, you want to be able to keep that defense off the field. There's been some struggles here and there. And if you can just keep the play volume low, then some of the penalties and things that they tend to pick up on longer extended drives are less likely to happen. But also, it's been something that maximizes your chances at winning because you're just so good at it on fourth down. They are not only the best team on fourth downs this year, they're the best team on fourth down in 25 years. Why wouldn't you use that? And sure, percentage-wise, are you probably going to drop down if you're not quite as selective as when you go for it? Sure. But if you go from the best in 25 years to the best in 10 years, or certainly the best this year, clearly that seems like it would be worth it to continue to take those attempts. And sure, oh, they left 6 points on the board. Did they? Or did they gain 8? Because you don't get the 2 touchdowns if you don't get, if you don't go for it every time. So I think they're +8 on the 4th down. Yeah, sure. You could have dropped 6, or you dropped 6, but you gained 14. That the gaining of the 14 seems worth it. And this is how they're going to have to play for the rest of the season. I hope this is how they play for the rest of Jaden Daniels' career, frankly. Continuing on.
Number 6.
4th down will be easier if the running game doesn't continue to be a gigantic problem. Brian Robinson in this game, 10 carries, 16 yards. They averaged 2.5 yards per carry as a team. That's obviously not good, but you can't say it's not good enough because, well, they won the football game. And at the end of the day, winning is the point. And I got to, you know, as that those statistics are all true and good and, or I should say true and bad, I got to give Cliff a lot of credit because he never abandoned the run. He wasn't afraid to run it, but he also tried to do it on early downs in situations where, hey, okay, this gets stopped. We have the ability to make up for it. And so you got a good gain on 1st down. Let's run it on 2nd and short and see if we can steal the 1st down. Oh, no, we didn't. Okay, that's fine. It's 3rd and 3. We're still in a good situation. Okay, we're going to run it on 1st down. Okay, that didn't work. Now we throw it on 2nd down. Well, now we're in 3rd and 3 again. So they avoided a lot of 3rd and longs despite the fact that they ran the football horrendously and effectively and inefficiently. And that is a tribute to Cliff because then, you know, the Bucs defense is still sitting on the run. They still don't want to all of a sudden make those numbers flip. They don't want to just give up a ton of yardage on the ground. So they found a way for Tampa to have to respect the run while also not killing themselves by being so heinously bad at it. That is a fine line to walk, and Cliff deserves a ton of credit for that. Now, they need to figure out what they can do to not be heinously bad at it, but that is a problem for Detroit and next week.
Number 7.
Marshawn Lattimore. I don't have to tell you it wasn't good. He looked rusty and he looked very frustrated. And I know he's highly competitive and I love the finish on some of these plays where he gives up the catches and he's still slamming Evans down out of bounds. There's a nastiness. There's a bleep you attitude. There's a lot of good stuff that you want out of your football players, especially your tone setters. And Marshawn Lattimore is one of those guys, but I'd also like him to play better. And he would, I'm sure, like to play better. They would like him to play better. This is not a selfish radio host or a bunch of fans being like, about a guy that actually secretly is playing fine. No, Marshawn Lattimore, the last couple of games, I mean, the AJ Brown one was a lot more mixed results. There's some really nice plays in that game that Lattimore made on Brown against Philly, but committed a bunch of penalties and gave up some yards. There's not a lot of redeeming qualities on this performance last night against Mike Evans. He just lost a lot to a great receiver whose number he's had for the majority of their careers, but he looked rusty, didn't look like he trusted his feet, didn't look like he trusted, you know, what he was seeing. And Evans lit him up. And good on the Commanders for changing some things up later in the game, for maybe putting the double team over there, for letting Sanders still cover him a little bit to make sure that it didn't become a sideshow any more than it already was. But I also think this is probably something that's temporary for Lattimore as he knocks the rust off. And I mean, he's got a massive challenge this week, either Amon-Ra St. Brown or Jameson Williams, basically every snap. So huge, huge challenge for the Commander secondary, and hopefully Marshawn Lattimore is feeling a lot better in week 2 back than he was in week 1.
Number 8.
Overall, the time of possession dominance was necessary because of how bad the Commander's pass defense was. Baker Mayfield was the number 1 quarterback this weekend, pending Sam Darnold or Matthew Stafford going crazy tonight. But the number 1 quarterback this weekend, an EPA per dropback, was Baker Mayfield. So that means every time he dropped back, it was worth more points on the scoreboard in estimation than any other quarterback who dropped back this weekend. That's saying something considering all the quarterbacks who did all the things when they dropped back this weekend. However, part of that number being so high per drop back is he's only dropping back, I think, about 20 times. He had 19 attempts. He had the one big scramble that killed them. Had a couple of sacks, so low 20s. That's really, really impressive. It means you're doing a lot of things right in the run game, and it means you're doing a lot of stuff right on offense to keep the ball out of the opposing offense's hands. And just how rare is what Washington did yesterday? Washington, the eighth team since at least 2000 to have five 10-plus play drives in a playoff game. Five drives over 10 plays. They ate clock, and that helped them be incredibly efficient on defense effective on defense on a day where they were very much not efficient.
Number 9.
The other thing the time of possession dominance did was slow Tampa's pass rush. Early in this game, Jaden Daniels felt like he was under immense pressure often. Even on some of the big plays, the throw to Terry, he gets hit pretty good. There's pressure that he has to roll away from, and it kind of almost looked like the first game, the first couple of drives where he's scrambling everywhere. But as the game went, he was able to settle into the pocket a lot more, in part because Tampa's pass rushers were just flat out tired. They registered 15 pressures on 40 dropbacks, but it didn't feel that way. So sometimes you get a pressure, even on the touchdown, where he gets hit low to Deami Brown. That's technically a pressure, but he didn't feel any real pressure on that. That's because the guy got there late. Impactful pressures, probably less than 10 in the game. And for a team that blitzes as much as Tampa does, I think they wound up blitzing, I think the final number was 55% of dropbacks in this game. That's pretty, pretty darn good. Last but not least,
number 10.
I'll do it in wins. I'll do it in losses. I'll do it till it gets better. Can we have one game where the refs don't do something egregiously stupid? The lack of a PI call on Zach Ertz on that fourth down where Lavonte David, who was fantastic, tackled him is insane. How do you watch that happen and not call a flag? How do you not get together in a midi huddle and then have the instant replay from New York do something they're not supposed to and be like, hey, guys, you really messed that up. And then talk about it and be like, actually, sorry, there was a PI. There was a hold, illegal contact. Whichever one you want to call, but the ball was in the air when it was happening, so it should have been PI. I don't get it. I don't know what they're looking at. Every single game in these big games, there are calls that are just mind-blowingly bad. That was the one for yesterday. Thank God that karma had the Commanders back, because just a couple of plays later, you have the fumble. Bobby gets it. Commanders ultimately score, and probably for clock purposes, in a way that worked out for them. So worked out in the end. But man, officials, please just call the ones that you're supposed to call and don't call the ones that you're not supposed to. There was a couple of soft ones earlier on in the game as well. That's first and 10, everybody. 10 observations from me in the first half hour of the show. So now we turn the thing over to you. Your calls, 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980 to tell the truth Monday. How are you feeling after this Commanders playoff victory? What truths do you have after their first playoff win since the 2005 season? We take your calls next on the Hoffman Show.